Hi, Wild Things. I couldn't stay away. Over the past few months, I've gotten a ton of emails, messages, photos, and artwork from people who enjoyed the podcast. To all of you who wrote, thank you. Thanks for taking the time to listen and to share your memories and thoughts. I got a few of you to record your stories and letters, which I wanted to share. Many, many people wrote to me about their own possible Bigfoot experience, which was kind of cool because my cousin Grover also got those kinds of letters. One such story comes from Tammy. I'm not giving last names because people didn't always want to share that information publicly.
My name is Tammy, and I'm 51 years old. I have a brother who is 48, and we grew up in southern Indiana in the middle of farm country. One afternoon, we decided to take a walk down a gravel road that ran by our house. However, we both froze in our tracks when we saw something very strange, a very tall, heavy, and hairy man. Unless it was a man wearing a costume, then it must have been an animal that we had never seen before, or since. It was covered head to toe in long, dark hair, was standing on two legs and bending over slightly, and it had an object in its hands, like a branch or a large stick. I just turned and ran as fast as I could back to our house. I was so terrified. My brother, however, stood there for a few more seconds, and then he also got scared and ran home. Now, this event took place over 40 years ago, and neither of our memories of it have changed at all. But we both agree that we wished we had never seen it, because it makes us sound crazy, or at least we know that people write us off because it happened to us when we were just kids. But it did happen, and that's our story.
Another listener, Michael, has had several strange experiences in the woods, but vividly remembers one in particular, when he was camping with his young daughter about 10 years ago.
My daughter and I packed in 10 miles down the Pacific Crest Trail, and then another half mile or so to a small camping area known as Hidden Springs. I set up with brush around the tent intentionally to be able to hear wildlife. I also placed my mess kit around the base of a tree where our packs hung about 40 yards from the tent, with the idea a bear would kick the kit, making noise. 2 hours or so before daylight, I heard a sound right outside my tent. It was a clap of hands. I thought it was odd. Moments later, another clap on the other side of the tent. And then another, and another, and so on. The clapping went on for almost 2 hours and suddenly stopped. No steps, no squeaks, nothing but claps on all four sides of my tent. On the pack out, I continually felt watched and looked over my shoulder. Not saying it was Bigfoot, but I've never heard a perfect clap of hands before in the woods. This was 2010. We were alone in the meadow around the water, and nobody came in after dark. Who knows?
There were plenty more stories like these, and I'm sorry I didn't have time to reach out to all of you, but I appreciate you sharing them with me. I also got a letter from Andrew Cavett. Wild Thing inspired him to do some reporting. Back in episode 2, when I talked about the discovery of the gorilla, you might remember I mentioned how wildly popular the creature was in Europe. They crowded into museums to see gorilla displays, bought sheet music for songs about gorillas. I couldn't find a recording. Sorry. Sorry wasn't good enough for Andrew. He sent me a note asking very nicely why I hadn't played the actual music. I couldn't easily find it, I told him, but said that if he could, I'd put it in the podcast. Well, Andrew delivered. He wrote to Oxford University in England, where the original sheet music is housed, and they very kindly sent him a copy of it.
Hey! Got it.
What?
I got the sheet music.
To what?
From the one I was talking about. It's from the Oxford Library for the podcast.
Wow. Let's take a look.
The song is called Mr. Gorilla, the Lion of the Season. Lion meaning celebrity in this case. And Andrew convinced his wife, Shelby Foster, to sight read it and sing the lyrics in the living room.
All right. Do you think you can play that?
I can try.
Cool.
Let's see. Ooh, it's in 6/8. Okay.
That was great. Can you try like the first part with just the first words? I don't know how to pronounce that French word.
Okay.
Those are the lyrics to the first verse. Good ladies and gentlemen, how do you do? I am the gorilla of Monsieur de Chaillou. They say that my features a compromise show between chimpanzee and Billy Barlow. Unclear who Billy Barlow is, Andrew says it might be a reference to an old British tune. A big round of applause for Shelby for sight reading and singing on the spot. And thank you to Andrew for his follow-through. Special thanks to Chris Cottell and Angie Goodgame at the Weston Library at Oxford University for their generous help in providing a copy of Mr. Gorilla.
That's probably the first time that's been played in over 100 years.
I would think so. It's definitely very dated. Yeah.
There were a few other letters from people who just genuinely enjoyed the podcast, like this one from Jesse.
Hi, this is Jesse Bethay from Columbus, Ohio. I was listening to the episode where you talk about the Sasquatch air fresheners, and it so happens that I have a Sasquatch air freshener in my car that my sister gave me for Christmas a couple of years ago. But there was this one time where I went to visit Cuyahoga Valley National Park, and I left my car in the parking lot to go hiking. And when I came back, there was this note tucked into my windshield by somebody who must have seen my air freshener. And all they wrote was, "We love Bigfoot too." So anyway, thank you again for doing the podcast. I really can't wait for future episodes. Bye.
And finally, there were the letters from people who'd known Grover personally. Those meant a lot to me, especially one from Roger Lajeunesse, a former student and a longtime friend of Grover's. Here's part of his email, read by my husband.
I just listened to your last podcast in the series on Sasquatch. Contrary to your concluding remarks concerning whether or not Grover would have approved, I think he would have been pleased with the balanced, enthusiastic approach you took. On the one hand, you balanced our childlike interest in the world around us, especially that which is not completely visible to the eye, and that which is the product of our senses and reasoning. Grover was always a precocious 12-year-old, no matter what his chronological age was at the time.
This has been such a rewarding project to work on, and I hope all of you enjoyed it as much as I did. I'm bidding adieu to Bigfoot for now and getting started on a new topic. When I have more information about it, I'll share it on the Facebook page, social media, as well as the website, wildthingpodcast.com. You can also sign up for my email list there. I promise not to spam you. In the meantime, if you know of someone who might enjoy Wild Thing, please tell them about it. Thank you again to all of you who listened to Wild Thing.